This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Chris O'Brien is not only on special assignment, he's actually on a lecture tour in California. So we hope he does well, and we wish him the best on that. I think he's trying to book a national tour or something. So if that happens, you may have Chris O'Brien coming to a city or a UFO group near you. We'll try to get the information out as soon as we can. We have invited our old friend Greg Bishop, whom I regard as kind of a cutting-edge theorist, because he tries to look at the responses to the questions we don't ask, or ask the questions that we fail to ask. And so we'll be talking to him today, and a little bit later we may have a surprise extra guest. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, Greg, welcome back. It's only a few weeks since we talked to you last for an After the Paracast.
Yeah, I think so, because I don't look at the forums as much as I used to. Usually when I'm on, I'm going to, of course, go look, because I want to see what people are saying and what the discussions are. Nobody's ever nasty. People are, at least as I see, pretty civilized. It's one of the more civilized forums out there.
We get a few, but we do have some volunteer moderators, such as Mike Jones. And we watch it carefully. If it starts getting a little bit too excessive, we'll pull the plug. Occasionally we get ringers in there, people who try to impersonate other people or just want to come in and troll for trouble. But thank heavens, as you say, we don't see a lot of that going on. The discussion is getting the most play right now, and I wanted to see what you think about it. One is about the extraterrestrial hypothesis. We had a couple of episodes featuring listeners, people from the forums talking about it, and obviously it's pro and con. Are UFOs extraterrestrial, or is there some other cause, or a combo? I think, though, it kind of gets a little tiresome because you're basically going back and forth on something you can't prove. What's your perception?
That's my perception. Not even joking, yeah, that is my perception. But the thing is that I don't know what this thing is where people have to take a side. Like, well, it isn't. It's like, I don't know if anybody, I looked at it a little bit. They were very intelligent arguments. I mean, I was kind of impressed, but the thing is that it's, like you said, you can't prove anything. So, you know, why take a strong stance? Except as a thought experiment or mental exercise, what can we wring out of this to see what the best arguments are? And there's some really good ones for the ETH, and there's some really good ones against. The only reason I guess I'm perceived as somebody that's against it. I'm just not interested in it. It's not, has nothing to do with being against it. It's more interesting to me to look at other perspectives that have been around forever. It's just that I like people that are trying to push things into new areas because, as you said, you can't prove anything. So let's explore this. And you find things out along the way that have nothing to do with UFOs and have a lot more to do with who we are and how we think about things and how we discuss things and how we perceive things and remember them and talk about them and recount them and all that. That to me is far more interesting than is it ETH or is it not?
Well, maybe the reason why we think it's ETH, and a lot of that is our culture. We live in the sci-fi culture. We see movies, TV shows about life in outer space, so we assume, well, if there's life out there, maybe they are coming here. That's where it fits, because that's how we're oriented. If we were oriented towards leprechauns, as we might have been some time back, then we'd be looking for leprechauns.
Yeah, that's the, whatever it is, the Valet hypothesis. At least he's the one that popularized it. Yeah, we're trapped by our culture, our language. And those are the two main ones. And then everything, you know, cascades from that, how we argue about things, how we deduce things. So You know, if you've only got a hammer and a nail, you're just going to see hammers and nails. You're not going to see pencils and wrenches and paintbrushes and all the other things that might be sitting around. And I see vague ways to use those other tools, and that's why I'm interested in those things.
I also think here that if we were really being visited by a civilization that's hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, would we even recognize it for what it was? Because right now, it's hard to conceive, looking at our technology, unless you're a little bit older and you've seen where things have gone and where they started. When I was building crystal radios when I was 12 years old, or simple tube radios, I didn't think about the iPhone and the things it could do. I still see that in my lifetime. We're more advanced than some Star Trek technology, such as tricorders and communicators. So the thing here is we see something that meets our expectations, but if ET is really here, I still wonder, would we even recognize that technology? Could they just come here in a flash? We don't know. We don't know what we're going to discover 50 years from now, 10,000 years from now. You know, stargates, will they just be pure energy, have evolved into some kind of pure energy? Will they be like the Q continuum, where they can just appear where they want to? They don't have to do this pedestrian space travel stuff.
Right. Yeah, you only see what you've been conditioned to see. It's like you said, it's what you don't even know about that you can't see. You know, there's that old story of the certain indigenous cultures not being able to see ships when they came from Europe. And I don't know if that's exactly true. But I think they saw them. To my mind, they saw them. They just didn't really have a word for them, except for maybe a really big thing that floats on the water, and with lots of people coming and animals and things coming out of them. It's not that they couldn't conceptualize it. They just couldn't. They couldn't describe it. They just couldn't describe it in language that made any, you know, that had any relationship to the culture they came from. They probably couldn't even describe them to each other really that well. Until they got used to it.
Even on the simplest level, finding a landmark or something, you may not see it, but the person next to you, having been there, will. The example I always cite here is on one of my Uber rides. I have a passenger, and they say, okay, the restaurant I'm going to for work, it's right next to the Firestone. Do you see the Firestone sign just up ahead on the left? And I look, and I don't see it immediately because it's kind of covered by trees. But they've been there 10,000 times. They notice it. I won't really notice it until maybe the navigation system or the passenger says, make a left turn here. And I say, oh, there's the sign for Firestone. And there's the restaurant. Because I'm not trained to recognize it because I've never been there before. Now imagine something more elaborate like seeing a ship or seeing a spacecraft. Or seeing an airplane, if you have nothing like that in your background, no frame of reference, what do you call it?
Yeah, well, your brain screams over to the most familiar thing or thing that makes most sense to you or makes you feel the best about it. That's a scientific fact, but there's a lot of research that points very definitely to that. If you see something unfamiliar, what do? You have to be able to handle it somehow. Is it going to kill you? Can you eat it? Your brain starts going very quickly, I think, subconsciously through your files and saying, what is this? And if there's nothing there that matches it, it'll put a placeholder in there and then you perceive it as that thing. And I think that's very important when considering witness testimony for anomalous experience. That's not an original idea to me, but I think it's an important and interesting one.
The problem here that I see in existing UFO research is we look at those things as external occurrences. It's the same thing as I'm looking at a all-in-one printer across the room. Or you're familiar with seeing airplanes. You see them all the time, perhaps. Maybe you live near an airport. On a rare occasion, you see a helicopter. You certainly see cars. So we treat them as external things. You're not part of the process. But that, of course, may be the huge mistake. We have Greg Bishop here, and we may have a surprise guest later on. With Gene and Greg, you're in
the Pericast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're not saying here, folks, that ET isn't here. We're not saying that UFOs are not extraterrestrial. We're pointing out here that we are limited in what we see to something with which we can compare it. And as a result, we can have a phenomenon totally alien to our understanding, but we may never see it for what it is. Again, would we recognize the technology of hundreds or thousands of years from now if there is an ET? We can only think in terms we know. Even if we look at the Star Trek universe, a lot of things in there we've already worked on. You know, we already use tablets like they did in Star Trek Next Generation. Scientists are looking into warp drive, matter transportation. So maybe in 50 or 100 years we'll have all that. But what's going to happen to a civilization hundreds of years from now? Or another theory voiced, which is interesting, is that once they find a technology that works, the money makers in that civilization, assuming there was a money system, may just want to monetize it and not go to the next level. Like, for example, we have the internal combustion engine that's been around since, what, the late 19th century? And we still make them with lots of fluff and lots of improvements. But at the end of the day, the basic principles are the same. And the reason we continue to do it is because it's profitable. People are accustomed to it. And only now are we looking at things like electric vehicles. But even then, they're designed to very much mimic a regular car. They will drive mostly like a regular car, even though the propulsion system is very different.
Right, because that's what people are used to. Why do we have to be used to something that's outside of our experience? We should, you know, like I say, look look at things that are outside of the comfort zone, that are kind of confusing, that challenge your preconceptions. I'm always looking for those things. I love those things because it means that there's some novelty still available, and there's tons of it. That's, you know, people ask me, you know, why are you against the ETH? The only reason I'm against it is because it's boring to me, because that's all I've seen all my life. I don't know why people, you know, well, I do know why people just want to stick with it, because it doesn't challenge them. Bruce Duensing once said that people don't like things that are too different or too complex. And that's often how things are moved forward.
Now, the thing I wanted to bring up, which I kind of didn't finish and I should have, is the reason I brought up familiar technology is that may well be we'll reach a point where we invent something and we're going to milk it for what it's worth before we go on to a new technology. So it could be that some extraterrestrial civilization designs a rapid way to get from one star system to another, a warp drive. Will they look for something even better? Or will they say, okay, we're going to monetize this, we're going to use it as long as we have to, and then maybe kicking and screaming, we'll go into stargates?
Maybe so, but also what we're doing here is extrapolating our motivations onto something that we have no idea about. I guess that's all we can do. But once it gets to that point, I think that if we are using our own model and our own civilization, if it gets to the point where energy is essentially available to anybody all the time, free energy, in other words, which is, I think, what every civilization moves towards. At least that's what ours is. I don't know how it'll be easy to monetize that. There will have to be a completely different system of civilization and all that before that happens. And who knows, you know, the capitalist system or whatever other systems interact with each other on this planet will collapse and be replaced by other things, probably, you know, in the next couple hundred years, maybe before that. So we have no idea. But your point is valid and well taken.
Now, just to point out here, we may actually have a guest here who's going to look at a realistic approach to whether we'll discover life on other planets. And it's a mainstream scientist, okay, by the name of J.C. Farris. And he's going to look at what science knows today. Like what environmental conditions are favorable for life on other planets, what evidence might suggest intelligent life exists elsewhere. You know, talking about Earth-like conditions, Earth-like planets, things like that. Just in the normal, conventional, scientific point of view. Anyway, it's good to know what we really can demonstrate in terms of knowledge or anticipation of what might involve life in outer space. Now, one of the things we use to advance the claim that UFOs are ET is that the craft appears to do things that are beyond our ability. to do in terms of maneuverability, pinpoint turns, things like that, that seem to violate our current understanding of how airplanes could work. But again, we're back to the same thing. Are you seeing something that's physically there, or is your mind filling in the details? What is really there? Is it a spaceship, a physical spaceship? And you assume, again, that what you see is what you get. That's the big thing here. Are we seeing what's really there? And once you cross that threshold, there are lots of possibilities.
Yeah, that's kind of the point of the co-creation thing is if we can figure out how the instrument is calibrated, us, or how to calibrate it, or what its limitations are, maybe we can figure out, sort of do a run around what the, get out of our own way and see what might be behind what people perceive. I don't know if that's even possible, but I think it's a first step. Let's just figure out how we do things, how we think about things, how the human mind works, hopefully across cultures and times, and figure out, okay, this is how take the machine apart, see how it works, and then figure out what the machine can and cannot do. And maybe that'll be a clue as to what happens when somebody has an anomalous experience. There is a good book about life on other planets or possible life on other planets called Weird Life by David Toomey. The subtitle is The Search for Life That is Very, Very Different from Our Own. And what he does is he uses examples of extremophiles, living creatures that live in cyanide pools or near geothermal vents under the ocean, thousands of feet under the ocean, different environments that are extremely inhospitable to life as we know it, but yet life still exists there. And he uses that as kind of a clue as to what kind of life we would expect in other places, or we could not expect. We have to expand our ideas of what the conditions for life could be. I think when you have your scientist on there, he'll probably explain it a lot better.
The thing to bear in mind here is too, we're still only seeing things in the way we understand. I know Star Trek would explore other kinds of life forms, like the Horta, which was kind of a moving rock-type creature that still had a civilization, still had some level of intelligence. Before we get too much into rock beings, we've got more to come. With Gene and Greg, you're in.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I'm not going to say anything about that noise. I think that's E.T. is coming here and telling us what he or it or whatever really is. A reminder, we have a second radio show that we also want you to listen to. It's called After the Paracast. That's not just a wrap-up show. It can be anything at all. It's unpredictable, and it's available only if you subscribe, yes, you, to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com to get more information, plus.theparacast.com. We charge a modest subscription fee from $1.49 a week, which right now is cheaper than what Circle K charges for coffee if I want to buy a cup of coffee, which I might do after we finish this. But I am fully awake with Greg Bishop. Chris O'Brien's on a lecture tour. And when he gets back, we'll ask him about what he's up to. And we're talking here about what we think about UFOs and other phenomena, what we think they are and what they might be. And as you recall in the movie Contact, where Jodie Foster meets supposedly E.T., coming to her in the form of her late father, and it says to her, I'm doing this so you can accept my appearance. So the thing I would wonder here is, even if we are seeing UFOs in the form in which it's presented to us, does E.T. alter that form to make it acceptable or whatever we are communicating with?
That's one of the things in my essay in the Reframing the Debate. I said, how much do we bring to the dance? Is it, you know, is it a little bit, a lot? I said, it could be anywhere from 0% to close to 100%. So if you're getting closer to 100%, you don't have to posit that the ET is doing anything. It's just us trying to figure out what the hell it is and settling on some idea. Or you could go all the way to the other end, and if you're talking about a mind control scenario, and say that they engineer completely what our awareness is. I don't know where things are on that spectrum. I have a feeling it's closer to the we're doing most of the appearance and communication and all that stuff with something that is hard to conceptualize. And I don't know what that thing is. I wrote an essay one time that whatever it is that we see might be just going on its merry way, doing whatever the hell it does, like wind and waves. And the way we interact with it is what the meaning is. Like if you get out in the ocean, a swimmer sees something different than a sailor who sees something different than an aviator who sees something different than a fish. So, but the sea is just doing its thing. It just exists. So I've tried to use that model to illustrate that we can mold whatever this unknown thing is into whatever we find acceptable, useful, educational, frightening, whatever it might be.
We're molding it again, ET, into what we want to see. And that's the argument I think the people who push for ET can't get around. They're assuming whatever we see is all or mostly what's there. And therefore, we have to think about what it is based on its behavior and what it comes across as. But we're not looking again at the co-creation process, the percipient's participation in what we see. But a lot of that also goes into UFO abductions. You know, we think that ET has kidnapped us, maybe. We're taken out of our rooms or bedrooms, and we go through walls. And then, of course, our friend, our mutual friend, Red Pill Junkie, had written that piece for my newsletter, something he's talked about, where near-death experiences and abduction scenarios have this similarity. This is something that abduction researchers can't get their heads around.
No, because they want to see things literally, and when they come into abduction research, there's already a corpus of work, ideas, philosophy that's there, and they just glom onto it, not realizing that it's been created by people that have been studying it from the very beginning. Now, I speak to, you know, Peter Robbins. I had him on the show years ago. I think I'll have him on here again pretty soon because I haven't talked to him on my show in a while. But I said to him, you know, I can't see the connection between ET and the abduction scenario, or think that people are being taken out of their beds by literal aliens that are interested in them for whatever. It just doesn't make any sense to me, or I don't want it to make sense or whatever. And he told me, well, I can see why you're saying that, because Peter has a sense of equity, which is rare in the UFO field. I can see why you're saying that, but all the years I spent with Bud Hopkins, all the years and all the people I talked to and all the things that happened, this is what my idea is. And I told him, you know, if I had gone through what you had, I might feel the same way. So I can't tell him that he's wrong. I wonder more than he does. Maybe my distance from it actually helps a little bit. I don't reject people's experiences or what these people have looked at. I don't know about their methodology. That kind of bothers me a little bit. But like I said, once again, it's a lot more interesting to me to look into what might be contributing to our perceptions, because perception is everything. Even using scientific instruments, they're extensions of our perception. So you're only going to measure, in a lot of cases, what your a very finely tuned model of what your a human perception is.
And those devices are designed to extend what we accept as perception. They're not looking into things that we don't understand yet. They're not looking into physical manifestations of the brainwave that is projected or comes to us as a result of having one of these experiences. It'd be nice to see if they could do that, but it never seems to kind of work out. It'd be interesting to see what is really happening in the environment in which someone is undergoing an abduction experience. Are they the same as a person with a near-death experience in that they are in some state, but physically still there?
Yeah, I think it, as a result of the last month or so here, I think that nobody's really noticing this, but there's a lot of people who are far more versed in these things and a lot smarter than you and I and a lot of people we know are, and they are going to start studying it in ways that we've never even thought of yet. And they're going to come up with stuff that makes no sense to ufologists. And ufology will probably become even more of a hobby and a, you know, more akin to stamp collecting than than some kind of actual scientific pursuit. And scientists and people who are trained in this and people who are, you know, not just scientists, but academics, historians, all these people that were afraid of the subject are going to start looking at it and, you know, bringing their thoughts and their tools to bear on it. And I think that will change things quite a bit. I think it's already happening a little bit. I hear glimmers here and there of academia sort of taking the subject more seriously now, at least quietly, whereas before they would outright reject it. So, like I said, you know, this is something I've been saying for a long time. Science will change to meet the phenomenon, and at that point, ufology as what it has been will be irrelevant, or mostly irrelevant.
Well, right now, I think it's almost on the back burner for most people. Oh, that's interesting. Think of the reaction to the recent appearances on big cable TV shows of people involved in the To the Stars Academy or other fellow travelers. Like the other week, I saw Leslie Kane on Tucker Carlson's TV show, and that's a pretty fiery, conservative-oriented program. But when Leslie was on, he was totally straight, totally down the middle, and in fact seemed impressed by what she offered. And the main case she talked about was O'Hare.
Yeah, it's fashionable not to make fun of UFOs right now, at least in the media. And, you know, that's fine. The thing is, I think what's going on, they'll take it seriously for a while. And the reason that people don't really think it's that big of a deal is, one, I think more people believe in UFOs, the reality of that, and aliens and all that as a cultural thing than people realize, especially people in the UFO community think, you know, we know this thing and most people don't. I don't know. I think a vast majority of the public is kind of convinced that there's something going on, and it must be true because the government's covering it up.
And not believing the government or expecting a government conspiracy, you know, is very common in this day and age. We've got Greg Bishop and Gene Steinberg. You're in.
I do it every time. The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan." And in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Yes, Greg being the other voice on this show, he has to do it every time. Or we can reverse it. He can say you're in, and I can say the Paracast. How about that? You never hear me do it.
No.
That's right. We have to try that out. Maybe we'll try it out at the end of this segment. And we're just talking shop here about different issues that confront us. But as we pointed out here, I think UFOs, in a sense, are just two levels above background noise right now.
As you mentioned that, I was thinking, well, how does it affect most people's lives? It doesn't. If it has no direct bearing on raising your kids, getting, you know, trying to pay the bills and the rent and whatever the hell, it's not really that important, except as kind of an abstract concept and a fun thing to talk about. Even if there's a burble from the Pentagon saying, oh, yeah, we did study it for a while. Well, I think most people already assumed they were doing that, so it wasn't that big of a revelation. The change was that media, especially, and to some extent science and academia, I think are ever so slightly coming out of the closet and looking at it a little bit more seriously, which is a great thing. The other thing about it is I think most of the work on it is going to be done fairly quietly and not out in the open until somebody finds something out. I mean, the point of DeLong's group, one of their stated points is to monetize whatever they can find out from this. So, you know, not, I don't think that necessarily means ET and all that. I think it may mean more like, and they've been very careful not to say alien or extraterrestrial. Very interesting. But the upshot is I think that people are going to do this research. They're going to do it, you know, in the shadows quietly, but with the assurance that less people are going to laugh at them and more people with money and power are going to take notice. When I had Diana Pasulka on my show, she said that it's getting to the point where the smartest people in the room believe this stuff. And the people are starting to recognize that, which is a very encouraging thing for me to hear. It's that, you know, 10, 15 years, 20 years ago, that would have sounded totally insane. But I think it was true 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. Just we didn't hear about it.
Well, the way this came out, I think, was really, really handled properly because it came from the New York Times. It came from respectable publications. And therefore, because those stories treated the subject with respect, you had to treat it with respect. And we didn't hear about little green men from the cable TV talking heads. So yeah. It really came in a nice way. But remember where some
even
of this...
Even though it was a press release article, basically.
Right. And remember where this kind of started this serious discussion. We had Hillary Clinton, while running for president, freely says, yeah, we should look into this thing. Obviously, the influence of John Podesta. But whatever, she took it perfectly seriously And nobody that I know from the Trump campaign, all the things they said about her, demonizing her, they never said, oh, she's a loony, she believes in UFOs.
Maybe that's an indication that, like I said, for quite a long time, people who pull the strings have known about this and taken it seriously. They just don't make a big public deal out of it, usually. Maybe Clinton and to some extent some other Podesta and some other people were trying to do the same thing that the New York Times article did. I do not know. I think it's basically a way to push. It's a way to push our understanding forward, whether you include an ET or an alien in the or UFOs in the mix. The fact that you can no longer ignore things that are fairly obvious. People see things that they can't explain. People have psychic experiences. People can, throw their consciousnesses somewhere. And this has been, there are such skeptical friends of mine that don't think this at all, but I really can't argue about it anymore because it's been proven to me, one, by talking to people that are a lot smarter than me that have gone through it and explained to me what they think it is, and two, having it happen to me. So, this combination, there's no cure for it. So the fact that they don't want to ignore this anymore means that, or some people don't, means that they don't want to ignore the obvious and the benefits it might have. Who knows what the benefits might be, but closing your mind off to possibilities never has any benefits. And I think this is what's being realized now. Whether you believe what's going on with them or not.
Now, on last week's episode, our mutual friend Walter Bosley was on, and he suggested that the gentleman who was in charge of the Pentagon branch of this UFO project, Luis Elizondo, might still be working as a contractor for the government, engaged in what he calls perception management.
Yeah.
That we're basically controlling the growing acceptance of UFOs.
I would totally agree with that.
But if that's the case, what do they want us to accept UFOs as?
A concept that is acceptable to people that would be a concept that makes important or smart people take it seriously. I think that's part of it. Also, there's I don't know what the agenda is. I really don't. The fact that, and I've said this probably 100 times here on a bunch of shows, including mine, the fact that all these, a lot of the people in that group are former intelligence, or say they're former intelligence people. There's an agenda there and an end game that we have no idea what it is. I don't think DeLong does either. He might, but we really don't know what it is. I've got this prediction that as soon as whatever it is accomplished by making these announcements, they'll stop it and they'll go do something else. But the hammer and the nail thing, Walter and I, a few other people, they see, any communication from the government about UFOs, especially from the intelligence community, we view it with great suspicion because of what's happened in the past. Every single time. Here, we're going to tell you what it is. Oh, no, we're not. Or, why aren't you answering us anymore? No, it's not that important right now. It's this back and forth and tease, and it's never to tell everybody what's going on. It's basically to, fulfill some mission. I think we have to be really cognizant of that, as these things move on.
Well, then you can also suggest they're pointing you in the wrong direction. Look over here, like the magician. Go look over there in my hand, but something else is going on the other side of the room or something.
Yeah.
Misdirection. So what are they misdirecting us from? Now, Tom DeLong, I think, is an interesting case here because it's easy not to take him seriously because he's a rock star. We don't take rock stars seriously. They're just entertainers, and maybe they take a few too many substances. So we can look at them as basically wacky people, even though they could be astrophysicists like the former lead guitarist of Queen. Yeah, Brian May, Dr. Brian May. We forget that just because they're musicians doesn't mean that they don't have advanced degrees in science or a long-time interest, that they're not serious people. Remember that the lead singer for the Troggs, the late Reg Presley, wrote a book about crop circles. Now, you can say he's a wacky rock star because he sang Wild Thing, You Make My Heart Sing, etc., etc. But, again, because someone's a musician doesn't mean they're not serious people.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think he comported himself well in that Joe Rogan show, which is probably why he's only done one interview since then, and I think he calmed down for that. I got a feeling that he smoked a couple big bowls with Rogan before they did the show. Which
you
is
mean Tom DeLonge?
Yeah.
I've never heard him, so I have no idea. I have no interest in his music. I'm glad he's evidently was successful, but that's fine. But I see why it's easy not to take a person like that seriously, which is another way where they could have a quiet influence.
Yeah. Yeah. They can. I think what happened was that, and I've said this before too, is that I think he threw them a financial lifeline to do whatever they need to do. And they said whatever they need to say to him to get him to do that. There's people associated with that with DeLonge and his group that are spreading their gospel because they say that they've got inside information and that this is really important and they but I think you really have to wonder when somebody's saying what you want to hear and flattering all your prejudices, and that goes for DeLonge too, but he's involved on a completely different level. I don't even know what they're telling him. There, it may be all legit and, in some way is some sort of disclosure. But like I and Walter and a lot of people have said, and probably a bunch of people on your show, I have grave doubts.
Well, we talk about here, and I've mentioned it too, gradual disclosure. This is part of a project to alert us to something or have us come to accept something. And we'll get into more of that as we continue with our discussion. Chris O'Brien is on a lecture tour, and we wish him well with that. With Gene and Greg,
you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.